Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Glad to have you listening on a Monday. It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As Mike said, the gang is back together. And we've been having a lot of fun today, man. There's a lot of stuff going on. Lots of stuff in and around the NFL. SEC ADs are meeting about where this is going to go with college football. We'll talk more about that. Russell Westbrook puts out a tweet talking about that he tested positive for coronavirus before his team made the trip to Orlando. So he's being quarantined, but I think, Mike, he'll be ready probably by the end of the month when this thing starts, and he'll be playing for the Rockets, you know. But this is something that we're talking about. You know, Saturday night, we saw Atlanta United play the Red Bulls. And then, you know, yesterday morning I get up, DC United and Toronto were supposed to play, and that match was postponed. So we've seen two teams already in the MLS bubble be sent home or not even participate in FC Dallas and Nashville. And then that match was postponed. This is the kind of stuff, Mike, that's going to continue, I think, to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. You hear about Russell Westbrook, and he tested positive before Oklahoma, I mean, now the Rockets, now Houston, and everybody went into the bubble. So even though initially it's, you know, you see the headline, Russell Westbrook tests positive. You know, he's asymptomatic. He doesn't feel sick. He doesn't feel ill, but he did test positive. And again, that's where it gets so confusing. Like, you know, we mentioned Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR driver, a couple of weeks back was saying, look, I had a negative test. I was positive, and I had two negatives. I'm like, well, what the hell's going on here? I feel fine. But in this case, the protocols are working when you keep the sick people away from the guys that are healthy. You can isolate them, and then everybody can continue without obviously contaminating, if you will, Carl, the entire work environment.
Right.
So, I mean, in that sense, it's working. But it just seems, and this is the great argument I know you and Willie had, and we did the same, is how does it work with all the moving parts, plus the kids, younger people together on a campus for college football?
All right, speaking of college football, I'm about to say something that I don't know if people will like. Maybe you won't. But it has to be said. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Hey, our college football report is always brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBoxElectrical.com. If you guys want a man cave, home security, home monitoring, you can call them up at 404-252-3900. It's a full range of electrical services for Metro Atlanta, all done the right way, guys. Keep your family safe. 404-252-3900 for BrightBox.
All right, I want you to get your mind right. And when I say that, I'm talking to college football fans. You got to get your mind right. And the reason why I'm saying this is because right now, whether you want to admit it or not, there's a 50-50 chance the college football season doesn't happen. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to say it. Everybody's running from it. The reality is, there's a 50-50 chance that we don't have college football. And the reason is, Mike, because of what we're seeing around various parts of the United States. You said it, other regions going better than others, different parts of the country. But with the decisions that are being made already and the decision that we're waiting on from the most powerful conference in the country, which is the SEC, we're all waiting to hear where this is going, whether it's going to be conference-only games. That is just a Band-Aid, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That is the hope that everybody is continuing to have to say, oh, we can still play. We just won't play the non-conference games. Are you serious? I mean, come on. Mike said it. What are you worried about traveling to this place or that place when some of these quirky non-conference games, you're traveling just as far or further, but yet you're going to play conference games that you're traveling to Missouri from Florida? I mean, it just makes no sense. Here's where I'm at, Mike. I hope we do. We've been saying this all along. But Ivy League, Big Ten's decision, ACC deciding, well, we'll wait to speak to the media if you didn't hear that story, as their media days have been postponed indefinitely. I think that's just a function of where they're at. We got to still make decisions. We have a few weeks, guys, but Mike Bell, I just don't know if it's enough time for us to definitively say we're good, we're great, we can protect all these kids, and we're going to move forward with the season.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, a couple of ways that you and I have talked about it. First, you come at it from the fan who doesn't want to deal with the reality of the situation, which is, you know, man, but Georgia's loaded. I mean, this is really our year. And, you know, especially when you throw in the information that came out earlier today, the JT Daniels, of course, like most of the NCAA going to say no. They don't say no to anybody anymore. But JT Daniels, the former number one quarterback initially in the 19 class before he reclassified and came out in 18. But the former USC player's got 3 years of eligibility, right? You got Jamie Newman in there. You got Todd Monken's offense. You know, you got all these pieces in place. Like, damn, this could be a super high-powered, high-fun-to-watch octane offense, which may only play SEC teams. And this is going to be a year with an asterisk. And then, Carl, as I said, we talked to Pat Forty about this the other day. You know, the spring football thing is a nightmare because the good news is Georgia would be better equipped than anybody because you got a couple of quarterbacks, and obviously Jamie Newman would probably try to maybe try his luck in the NFL. But you have a bunch of quarterbacks in place. Trevor Lawrence is going to go to the NFL if you're spring football, right? I mean, yes. Justin Fields is going to the NFL. Everybody else has got to start quarterback or running back or whatever is gone. So spring football is a nightmare unless, of course, like the rich will always get richer. But I'm with you. I've tried to be as positive as I can, and I hate to be negative. Now I hate when a guy hears us for like 2 seconds and hits us up on the text line. Oh, you guys are jerks. Look, guys, there's the world we want and there's the world we live in, like my dad always said. And I'm with Carl. SEC right now is tight-lipped. They're still meeting over in Hoover, Alabama. There's no reports about what's been said.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. And I don't know, Mike, if we find out today. They may say, we are still having ongoing conversations.
Well, but here's the other thing. If, let's just say now, because the news cycle has been crazily bad, and there's nothing, like, I blame the media. There's nothing you can blame. It is what it is. The reports, they can't, it's not like they're making it up. You're seeing all the tests that are popping up. But here's the thing, Carl. Short of a vaccine, I mean, unless what if we trend down? I mean, we may have to go down to lockdown again. I mean, I can't imagine. We could barely get through it the first time. We're Americans. We have no discipline. That's the other thing about this, right? Whatever you want to agree with, disagree about, the countries in Europe did stuff that we could never do because we are a company who's not really good, Carl, at being told what to do. Would you agree with me?
Totally agree with you.
So that's where we're at, and now we're paying the price. And look, I'm as guilty as charged. I wanted to get out there in the mix in April when things opened up, but things spiked in Memorial Day, then things spiked again now on July 4th.
All right, so to put this in perspective, and I said, I'm going to say this again, it's a 50-50 chance. Nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to talk about it. California today, their governor's name's Gavin Newsom, shut him down again. And you're going, well, what does that matter? It matters to the Pac-12. When you start talking about restaurants, wineries, movie theaters, zoos, museums, bars must close. It sounds familiar? Yeah, it's March. That's what we did in March. And here we are. So Cali is making this move. What other states are going to be willing or have to, Mike, to do this again? It will affect the outcome of the decisions made with college football. Don't think that it won't. Don't think that, well, restaurants, I can't go to a restaurant, but I can go to a college football game. Stop fooling yourself.
Yeah, I think we've also kind of come to the realization now, guys, you know, again, short of a vaccine or some kind of miraculous turn of events, that we're just not going to be able to see football. We're not going to be able to see it in person. How we're going to pull this off, and again, combination of how many students, by the way, something I brought up last week was, well, and you and I have talked about it before, how many students are going to say, you know what, this is a money grab, and I'm not sure you guys can even protect me and do this the right way, even if I'm doing the right thing. So we'll see. I know that the bubble can work, but you can't seem to have the logistics to make it work, Carl. Put a bubble for, what, 80-some-odd guys on scholarship.
Yeah, and I don't know how you do a bubble with the various teams in the conference. Let's just use the SEC. Let's just say they're going to play at Auburn's home stadium. What are you going to do? You don't even have enough hotel rooms for guys to be in a bubble at any particular city, maybe except Atlanta if you want to do it. And then it creates a whole nother issue. I just think it's unrealistic with college football. That's why baseball didn't do a bubble, guys. Baseball was presented with this idea, and they went, you know what, we just got to travel. And that's why they're traveling. I mean, it's not as if these things haven't been thought out. I just believe right now we are still, many of us college football fans, are in fantasy land. We got to get our minds right. And if it goes the right way, God bless. Thank you. We'll all praise and have, you know, the time of our lives. But I'm right now, July 13th, this is where I'm at. And I'm hearing from various people around college football. And trust me, I know a lot of people. These folks are not talking. They're saying there's a really good chance this is not going to happen. If you don't believe me, listen to Greg Sankey and what he said over the weekend. This is the commissioner of the SEC.
I look at the numbers every day, and the important issue is not just numbers. It is trying to understand and comprehend, and that's where literally you want experts moving you away from the scroll or the titles at the bottom of a TV screen or the interviews of this expert or that, and find people. And we put a medical advisory group together in early April with the question of what do we have to do to get back to activity? And they've been a big part of the conversation. But the direct reality is not good.
I mean, that's the athletic director. I mean, there's your conference commissioner just telling it like it is.
That's what it is, Mike. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're talking college football. $18 billion is what we're talking about with the college football season. Not just one conference. We're talking about it as a whole, okay? When we get past the college football playoff and everything's said and done, that's what we're talking about. And I know that most of us believe, and I've used this phrase, and it came around in 08 when we had the economic crisis, it's just too big to fail. College football, you got to do it. You got to play. That's why they're talking about conference games only. We have to find a way to maneuver this, and maybe they will, but there's a chance they won't.
Well, the other thing also is, you know, because, as I said, maybe could the Big Ten have waited another couple of weeks? I mean, sooner or later, you will run out of time. And some people I've read some of these articles and columns like, well, why do they rush to do this? Well, I mean, you're just postponing the inevitable. I mean, it's just the numbers, because of all the variables Carl and I just talked about, and how many guys and how many moving parts and how do you travel and keep them safe. Like I said, let's hope that things do turn for the better. But unfortunately, Carl, as I said, whether you feel it's politically motivated, I think we're beyond that now, okay? Everybody wants to say, and I feel there's some agendas out there, but the numbers are just too scary for these guys, and these guys are losing money hand over fist. Believe me, they would not be doing... You think these guys are taking it lightly? Carl just said they're going to lose gazillions over this.
Yeah, and I also think, Mike, there's no coach, there's no AD, there's no school president or chancellor that wants to have that on his watch.
Right.
I just don't. And if it's me, I don't. I don't want to risk your kid. I just don't. And I know you're going to say, well, Dukes, listen, man, okay, so these young folks, we see, yeah, they're getting it. Okay, now they're getting it. We're past that. But they're not dying. Okay, I hear you. But that's not the conversation.
Right. And this is the other thing we've talked about. This thing is like trying to keep water in your hands, okay? Just when you think you got a handle on this stuff, it's over here, it's falling through your hands. You don't know exactly, Carl, if you've been listening, I said this yesterday. Willie and I said this last week, Carl. It's the Dukes and Bell disclaimer before we have this conversation, because it gets so politicized and people get so fired up. We all want sports. Hell, we want sports more than you. We talk sports for a living. I'm just telling you. If I was a kid, I don't know. Can you prove to me that if I get this, I'm not going to have some kind of respiratory issue or something which is going to maybe affect me, that I won't be able to do the things as well as I'm supposed to be able to do them? And there's been some stories about that. There's some stories, obviously, as you guys know, for athletes. We'll talk more about the NFL, where a lot of players are saying, you know, I got a young wife. I don't want to bring – would you – well, you, she might, she's not going to die. Would you risk that?
No.
You got a pregnant wife, you want to deal with that? Her maybe having to deal with COVID and go in the ER? The hell with that?
No.
I mean, that's why we got to take the fanboy thing out of this and take the reality and put it in it, which is very difficult because a lot of our fanboys don't want to give up on the seasons.
And neither do I, but I got to tell you, and I said when we started this segment, some of you may not like this. This is where we are right now as of July 13th. I was hoping 2 months ago July 13th would be a date where we would get all these announcements, middle of the month, hey, camp's on time, season's starting, we're good. And we're just not there. If we were, those announcements would be being made, but they're not. And I'll say this, too. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're talking college football. It's our dog report. The anxiety and the uncertainty, again, and talking to people around college football, is real. And when I say that, I'm talking to people that are in the decision-making process for some of these schools, Mike, and they are like, I don't know what to do. These are decision makers, and they're saying that. So this idea, like all of a sudden you're going to wake up tomorrow and things change, it's not happening.
Yeah, man, as we said, it's the good. I do know this. Motorsports can function because they're able to compartmentalize. Golf can do this. You know, we're going to see if MLS. Now, again, teams had to drop out because they didn't follow the protocols. If the NBA can do this, that's why I'm saying at the worst that could happen, Carl, is college and pro football could push it back to October. And yep. Let's see how the NBA experiment works. And if that works, maybe that gives people the buoy to say, hey, we can do this.
Let's keep our fingers crossed, guys. We just want to tell you what we know and where we're at. Hey, coming up, we got plenty more to get to here on a Monday. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, the Braves are not going to change their name, but what are they going to do? We'll tell you next. If you're just tuning in for the first time today, we are reliving Live Aid 1985, July 13th. It's been 35 years, and we were talking about this today and the amazing concert that was Live Aid and what it was all about, Mike, benefit concert. And we were just, you know, expounding on that a little bit, but Craig has been playing some of the music and the artists from those performances. And a guy hit us up. He played Sade earlier, and the guy was like, man, I love Sade.
Everybody loves Sade. Sade, I think that's one that everybody can agree with. First off, it's good mood music. She's beautiful. You know, it's always a cool vibe. You know, you could play that in an ultra lounge. And, you know, I mean, she even pulled it off on stage in front of, like, you know, 75,000 people at Wembley. So, I mean, yes, please. But, yeah, we just heard Bowie there with Heroes, which is kind of an up-tempo version of Heroes he did there, which is pretty cool. Yeah, man, it's kind of neat. That was for you youngsters out there. I presume that, I mean, I don't know if they teach this stuff in schools or people just find it and read up on it on Wikipedia. But, yeah, man, they were starving in Africa. Bob Geldof said, hey, let's, first they started with, you know, Do They Know It's Christmas, which was the song. Everybody was in on that in the European or English music scene. And then they put together this concert, which was, you know, and remember the big thing about the concert, Carl, was Phil Collins performs, hops on the Concorde, then fly him down to Philly. So he plays both venues, which is really kind of neat. But yeah, they raised millions and millions of dollars. And this was like the first major charity show. There had been other ones before, like a No Nukes concert or like Bangladesh that they did at the Garden that George Harrison was involved. But this thing was like obviously on a global scale. And it was documented. If you guys by now have seen the Queen movie, which is Bohemian Rhapsody, they talk a lot about it.
Yeah, so that's what's going on with the music today, if you're wondering. So we're kind of reliving that
a
little bit.
Idea. Look at Craig. Check out the big brain on Craig. Look at you.
404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as we come your way live from our mobile Kia studios today here on Dukes and Bell. And, of course, radio.com, guys. Get the app. We've talked about the Redskins. You heard Mike Conte in the update. We'll continue to talk about it. It's huge news today as the Redskins' nickname will be no more. We don't know what the new name's going to be. But this has sparked conversation around the country, as it has in many years. And you know, there are some things that I tell people I've been talking about for 25 years since I started in sports. Redskins' name has been one of them. That has picked up over the years to the Indians and even the Braves. And the Braves sent out a letter, excuse me, to their season ticket holders, Mike, saying that they are looking at the future of the Tomahawk Chop. But they will not change the name of the Braves.
Nor should they. I mean, to me, whatever you think about is exploitative. I mean, it's, you know, it's a cool name. You're honoring the warrior, okay? The warrior spirit of the Native American, the brave that's out there. I mean, to me, there's no problem with that. And I thought, you know, I don't know if you had a chance last week when you were on vacation to read the interview that Derek Schiller did along with Terry McGurk with the AJC. And I don't think some guys, I saw some of the comments on the text line and on the AJC. I don't think it was a cop out. I think it's just they're giving you the historical context. This was a Florida State thing that some Florida State fans brought to Fulton County Stadium when Dion was in the outfield. And so, I mean, the history, granted, when it's cooking, as I talked about it last week, when it's cooking, Carl, like when Acuna goes grand slam against the Dodgers, it's like goosebumps, you know. But, I mean, it's just something that, I mean, could you live in a world without the Chop? I think you could. You know, because again, when you, that's, I give the examples, Carl, when it's really cool, and then when it's like, and it's a grab ass version mid season,
right,
in the sixth inning, it's just kind of loses some juice. Real quick, just because I know, I want to just get your take, because I gave this to Will as we're going to give it to you now, is that my only beef with it was I didn't like another player, albeit he's Cherokee, from the opposing team on the verge of game five. Big home, you know, yeah, that's a home momentum event to have that, you know, Tomahawk Chop. I just didn't like the fact that they kowtowed there. I would rather have them do what they said they did in the interview in the AJC, which is they've been working, talking to Native American leaders, building a consensus on what they want to do, as opposed to the knee-jerk reaction that happened last fall before Game 5.
Well, my issue hasn't changed. I mean, we were over at Murph's before that game. must win. We know how it played out. My issue with Cardinals pitcher Ryan Helsley was, where was this at the beginning of the season? If you had an issue with it, the Braves haven't changed anything. If you had an issue with it, why didn't you raise those issues at the beginning of the season and say, hey, you know what? I want to just make this clear about some of the things that are bothering me being a Native American, and here is one of them. And if this was addressed the beginning of last season, I think it would have had more credibility. The problem was, it was before game five.
Yeah, it was some games. We, you and I chop it up to some gamesmanship. And again, there are a lot of journalists out there that embraced it. And again, I get it. Yes, he is part Cherokee from Oklahoma. But I mean, to Carl's point, when the Braves played the Cardinals, you know, why wasn't this a thing, you know, back in May? You know, why is it now in it's game five, you know, and now fans roll in and there's no styrofoam tomahawks there. And again, I thought it was just, to me, it was like corporate, you know, starts with a P, ends with a Y. But now you want to have that dialogue. Now you build a consensus. As you and I have always said, it doesn't mean much to me. I don't get that passionate about it. If Native Americans are offended by it, all right, then let's poll them here in Georgia and then we'll do away with it if that's what they want. But
yeah,
I just don't, like, either way, you're going to have unhappy PO'd Atlanta fans about this. But you know, just like the Redskins, you're going to get over it. What, are you not going to go to the games over it?
Well, you know, I've been having this conversation with people about other things that are going on in our country. And the idea is, it's amazing to me because people go, well, what will we do? You'll come up with new traditions. You'll come up with new chants. You'll come up with new cheers. It's what happens if that is going to be the situation. So I don't know if the Braves are going to change it. You know, as you mentioned, conversations, changing the name of the Braves, that is not under consideration. But to continue to review whether or not the tomahawk chop is something that's feasible moving forward for fans to be doing, okay, great. Let us know what you guys want or where you're at on this, and I think fans will act accordingly. But I know, you know, my biggest problem with this was the timing of it. It was never about whether or not we could do without. Can we do without? There's a lot of things you're starting to realize, and I think most of us in this coronavirus, you know, plague that's going on and you know, era, there's a lot of things you're doing without. You realize some things are just not as important as others. And for sports, it's the same way. If you told me I had to go to Truist Park, Mike, and I wasn't able to do the tomahawk chop, okay, was it change my experience? I don't know. I don't think it does.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I get it. There is a movement out there. There is this this cancel culture thing, which, again, I chalk up to kids not being educated or the education system has failed them because, you know, there's things out there. There's a history. There's part of, like, now, again, Confederate monuments coming down. That's an obvious. That's a no-brainer. Redskins is like an N-bomb for Native Americans now. I know, like, I read a lot of history. I know that back in the day, the Native American referred to himself as the red man, okay? But that's not how it works. In 2020, we all knew at some point the Redskins name was coming down, right? The Braves name's not going anywhere. The tomahawk's not coming off the jersey, but the chop is something we're going to discuss. But I do get a kick out of it. I mean, if it's like woke writers that are upset about it more than Native Americans, that's also its own issue. That's why, let's, you know, like anything else, we are a democracy. Let's put it to a vote. Let's see what the people who are supposed to be the aggrieved people, the offended people, and see what they say. And if they are really that offended, then okay, we'll move on from it.
So here's my question about this, though, and I don't know where Braves fans are about this, but when you see, and you said we knew where the Redskins' name was going to change, I can say that 10 years ago. No. Honestly, I
but
can't.
But you felt the momentum, though, in the last, especially, again, events are taking like lightning speed now in 2020, but I kind of felt it sooner or later, maybe not under Daniel Snyder's stewardship, but I figured by the time, you know, we have a conversation about the Skins, that name is gone.
All right, so does that open up the conversation? Because if it's ever going to happen with the Redskins, then it's going to happen everywhere else. That's always been the point. Redskins were the tipping point, right? That was going to tip the scales one way or another. If you change the name, or you're going to change the name of the Redskins, it's always been, if that happened, then these other teams are going to have to look at it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where Braves fans are. I mean, honestly, I doubt that, you know, they sent out this letter to the season ticket holders because they want to make sure that they are addressing this and they're not ignoring it and that Braves fans understand, hey, we're looking at this. We're not, you know, naive to it. And I think that's smart on the Braves' behalf, but I don't know where they are. And I only say that to, this isn't going away, Mike. Like, you know, this idea that, you know, the Redskins changed their name, it's going to be a huge story because we never thought that it would happen. Most people, at least especially in the NFL, and the way the owner's stance was.
Right. And I'll put it up there. I'll do a Dukes of Bell, hey, Manny, poll question. Has your stance changed? Because last year when we did the question right after the Cardinals game five, it was, I think it was like 89% or 90%
Yeah, no.
Said no way. Have you loosened up on that one? As we said, I mean, it's a history. You know, you had Ted and Jane doing it on national TV in game five. And that was, you know, obviously it was cool. As I said, anybody that was there, when you got a big momentum moment, like when you've got Acuna hitting the grand slam against the Dodgers and the whole stadium is shaking with the chop, that's awesome. You know, now I joked around with Will tongue in cheek, but I mean, like, my God, I mean, when do you start to think, or how do you relate to Native American history, Native Americans? You know, I know we've got guys that listen. We've had people that get very passionate when the subject comes up. It's a small number. But I mean, when do we really think about, I mean, if you do cancel this out, I obviously the legacy is, I mean, and I presume, as I said last week, they're teaching this stuff in school. We knew all about Native New York when I got there. We learned all about the people that were there before we got here. Is that taught? I mean, what is their connection to Native America if you start to lose some of this branding? Not the cartoonish, like Chief, you know, Wahoo with the Indians, Carl, but I mean, I guess I feel like I'm on thin ice with this argument, but what is the connection? What does Americans think of about Native Americans when we start to lose the connection to professional sports with their branding?
Braves say they will not change the name, but they will continue to look at the tomahawk chop. All right, Mike's going to put that poll question up. We'll continue to have this discussion as well with you guys. And by the way, Braves inter-squad play tonight. They're actually going to have an inter-squad scrimmage.
That's on Fox Sports, right?
It is, 7 o'clock. So inter-squad game, when I say scrimmage, but, you know, obviously. But it's going to be at 7, yep, and it'll be on Fox if you want to check it out and see what the Braves look like as far as pitching staff, lineup, whatnot. That's going on tonight. Hey, coming up, though, we got Yeah Man, No Man. Bo Morgan joins us next on Dukes and Bell.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit FixJets.com to learn more.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, Falcon Report is on the way. What's going on with Devontae Freeman? And we have our all-decade team. We'll talk about it coming up. But right now it's time for Bo Morgan with Yeah Man, No Man. We say hey, man, and we appreciate everybody out there drinking some Hey Man Ale. Got a couple of Insta posts, Mike, from guys over the weekend saying trying their first Hey Man Ale. So it's always out there. Check it out from your local package stores. Bo Morgan, what's happening today?
Not a lot, guys. You know, normal Monday. Got the gym. Got by the store. Hit some balls. I had a great weekend. Played a couple rounds of golf. So, you know, and by the way, my steaks, they turned out magnificent.
They look great. As we said, I don't know. Carl was joking around, or if you missed the beginning of the show, guys, like, we don't know how your food tastes, but you guys should know how to take good pictures of it.
You know, it's funny that because when I cut them open, I looked at them and I was like, eh. I wanted them to be a little bit pinker on the inside, but
hey,
we got into a couple pieces. Well, yeah,
don't we all, Squid? Don't we all?
Well, Mike, it's you know what? That's probably not a joke for the radio. I'll put it this way: they were very juicy and they were very flavorful. I have never really been a rub person on a steak, but the rub that I use, it had a little bit of spice in it because it had a little bit of cayenne pepper, but it worked real well. And I was going to do it in the cast iron skillet, and the owner of Conti's restaurant, the great Michael Conti, was like, no, don't do the skillet, just do them on the grill, because I like to do it in the skillet. And I did it on the grill and they turned out really well. So I was pumped, and I'm happy to have Buckhead Butcher Shop sponsoring this thing moving forward, so it's good. And I can't wait to go by there and get some meat. But all that being said, we know Patrick Mahomes has gotten his monster contract, but our kingdom of the Baltimore Ravens, he thinks that there's another quarterback that's worth the same amount of money as Patrick Mahomes.
He got to be worth right at least the same amount, if not more. You know what I mean? So I know he's chomping at the bit to get his opportunity to, you know, get his extension. But he's not worried about that. He just want to play good ball. He want to win games. But we know LJ gonna secure that bag real soon.
Now he said LJ. He means Lamar Jackson. So,
but hold on, Carl. I'm taking notes like the cop on Sanford and Son. Take care of your mental. Take care of your chicken and secure that bag.
Yes.
right, got it.
All right. So Lamar Jackson has had essentially half seasons as quarterback. Patrick Mahomes has had two, because remember Lamar took over late in the season of his rookie year, which was Mahomes' first year as a starter, was his third year. He has zero playoff wins. He's had two average to subpar playoff games, both losses. So, right now, at this point, Mark Ingram thinks Lamar Jackson is worth Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, man, no man, he's right.
Not yet, not yet. I mean, Carl, real quick, I always use that default setting on playoff wins because, you know, Matt had to learn how to win playoff games. Peyton Manning famously had struggled at playoff games. And I think the same attitude media uses towards Peyton should be used towards, you know, Lamar as he gets more accurate and steps up in the bigger moments. But now the money's going to come, but it's going to be an interesting discussion for Biscotti, the Ravens owner, and how much they are going to throw at him, Carl.
Yeah, here's what's funny. And this won't matter because he's not in line next. But we're going to find out if Dak Prescott gets his long-term deal and what that money looks like. Dak's not going to get Pat Mahomes' money, but he's going to get more than what he probably deserves. And that's going to be the case for Lamar Jackson. Listen, Lamar Jackson is not as good of a complete quarterback than Pat Mahomes right now, even though he's dynamic. And that's the problem. People want to say because of that, he should get paid as much. I don't believe that. I think Pat Mahomes, to your point, Bo, and even Mike, you got to win playoff games. It still comes down to winning. You have to win when it matters most. Dukesism. If you're not winning playoff games, you're not winning Super Bowls. If he wants a Super Bowl this year, then Lamar Jackson's going to get Pat Mahomes type money because you're coming off of an MVP year, season. Then you turn right back around and go to a Super Bowl and win it. Now you can pump your chest out a little bit and secure the bag. Right now, his bag's going to be a little bit less than what Pat Mahomes is.
Yeah, and to close out this topic, the other thing is, as you look at the offenses, they couldn't be more different, really, in 2020. You know, the Ravens, they're a run first offense. They built a big offensive line. They do have some weapons around Lamar Jackson, and he's performed very, very well. I mean, the guy was the MVP last year. But look at Patrick Mahomes. Now he's got great weapons, but they are a wide open offense, and they're slinging it a lot more than Baltimore is, and that's not a takeaway from Lamar Jackson. They're just different guys in different spots at right now, and they're both playing very well. They're both MVPs, so there's no knock from on either one.
I really left it that.
stop it.
By the way, hold on, Craig. I gotta say, we want to save the full Cam third person run. If you guys missed it earlier for Guy Talk, an hour from now, the greatest Cam third person reference coming up. Don't blow it.
But here's the thing, too, about Lamar, and this is my thing about Pat Mahomes. The Chiefs have asked, this is the difference in my opinion, the Chiefs have asked Pat Mahomes to go win games for them with the way they throw it around, Bo. Lamar Jackson had the benefit of the number one rushing offense in the league. And you're going to say, well, what's that got to do with anything? He didn't have that pressure on him. Not when you're stuffing it down people's throats. We talk about the Falcons being balanced. Let's take the pressure off of Matt. Matt can still be great, but he didn't have to be Superman and throw five touchdowns a game. The Ravens didn't ask that from him. The Chiefs asked that of Pat Mahomes, literally going into every game. We're either up or down. We still need you to throw it around and not make mistakes and get us a victory. That is the fundamental difference right now. If Lamar Jackson is throwing attempt-wise, go look at the attempts. As much as Pat Mahomes, then we can start having a different conversation.
Yeah, and I think Mike and I talked about this before off the air. What Lamar, the Ravens offense looks like a 2020 version or a 2019 version of what the Falcons did with Michael Vick early in his career, where it was run first, and it really set up the pass. Whereas Mahomes, it's almost like their pass first to set up the run.
Yeah, because he was a gunslinger. I'm sorry, you know, we used to joke around about Matt. And he's a gunslinger, you know, as Gruden would talk about him. But Lamar, that's a great point by Bo. Mike would have like one hot read early on, Carl, and usually it would be algae in some cases, and they just pull it down. You know what I mean? And then that evolved, and then by the time Mike got to the Eagles, it was a whole different ball game.
Yeah, and it's a great conversation on Lamar Jackson versus Pat Mahomes. Speaking of former greats, though, Bruce Smith, former MVP, former Hall of Famer, great Buffalo Bill, one of the best pass rushers ever, Bob-Tech grad. He went on Family Feud, and the question was...
This is all Pro Bowlers, right? Hall of Famers, right? NFL Hall of Famers was one team?
Okay. Yeah, and they asked Bruce, what would Captain Hook have as a hand if he didn't have a hook?
Bruce, let's go. If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age of kid is too old to see what he said.
Yeah, and they're taping it live, and then Steve Harvey goes, "What the blank did he just say?"
Oh my! He said the P word, didn't he? Not that yes. P word, the other one.
He might replace his hook with hook. With what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age of kid is too old to sleep with a tech. What did he say?
And again, Carl, as you know, it's always difficult when you are the second person. The first guy gets it easy because he gets the majority of the questions. That's why I usually only have to make about 50 or 60 points in the second round. But hammer was the obvious answer. I would have said, what, a wrench? Screwdriver? But he goes with a penis.
Yeah. I just got to, I mean, what kind of movies Bruce Smith been thinking where he thinks of that in Handyman?
Dude, the reaction of the players on his team, and I think, wasn't Michael Irvin, one of them guys are crying, Carl. I mean, they're literally crying laughing on this video.
Well, listen, I mean, I don't know about you, Bo, but a handyman does have a, never mind.
I guess it is a kind of, Scoot's right, though. Those must be the kind of movies that Bruce is watching in his downtime.
I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm here to fix the cable. You can imagine where it goes from here. He fixes the cable?
I've seen that movie, Mike.
Oh.
I've seen it.
Is that Warthog guy in that movie?
No, it's an adult film reference from the movie The Big Lebowski. But yes, it's a, you know, the routine. Just like pizza delivery guy. It's all the same premises. They just got to recycle them.
I've seen that movie too.
First, right, yeah. I want you to kiss her. Oh, yeah, that's Wild Thing. Sorry.
What? I think that's like one of Mike's guilty pleasure movies.
Love that.
He brings up Wild Things like once a show. It feels
I love young Denise Richards. Not after Charlie Sheen Denise Richards, but young Denise Richards. Oh.
What happened to her after Charlie Sheen? What was she? What happened?
Nothing. I just, you know, it ruined it for me.
Okay.
I think Mike's saying that she's now tainted.
She came out of that marriage, not tainted in that sense, but it just changed the mojo for me. Yeah, I mean, it just, but that, oh, she early in her career, my goodness, that's one of my favorites.
It's kind of like Carmen Electra, and you saw Dennis Rodman, you're like, really? They just
you ruined it.
Up.
You ruined it.
Yeah, but Carmen Electra still got it.
I was going to say, she looked good in The Last Dance. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
And she got hooked up with Dave Navarro. I mean, I got to be honest. Dave Navarro and Dennis Rodman, those are two guys I would think would have a pretty high chance of giving you cooties, Carl, to be quite honest.
You know what? Throw Tommy Lee in that mix, and you've got a trifecta.
That's true.
But, by the way, Tom Cruise ruined Katie Holmes for you, or no?
You know, I don't – you know what? I don't know. I don't – you know what? It's hard to, after all the things, I'd love to know what the real story is with Tom Cruise. You know, you and I, we've talked about this before, Carl. I would love to know what the real story is. How much of this is just the Hollywood rumor mill, or is he really that wackadoodle?
I don't know. I mean, and by the way, I know this. There were rumors out there for the last few years that she was dating Jamie Foxx.
Yes, and she was.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Play the damn music, Bo.
All right, guys, as always, we're brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com to learn more. Craig, hit my music.
Nothing says bringing people together, Carl, like Ozzy and Sabbath from Live Aid. It's the 35th anniversary. That's why we're playing some of these old tracks. Craig dug them up. That's what we're doing today on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man, coming up, what's our all-defensive team look like? We're talking about the decade team. Who's on it? Maybe you will agree, maybe you won't, and won't, that is. And coming up, we're going to talk about our former running back, man. I actually think something is going on with him. We'll explain.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.